Yes, we're going to get started here. Could we start with approval of the minutes? Representative Beard, did you have a chance to look over the minutes?
In 9 seconds, I will.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. They look good. I'll move them.
And could you move both sets of minutes for us? We failed to do that at our last meeting as well. If you'd like to take a moment and look at those.
Yes, ma'am. I'll move both sets of minutes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I have a motion to approve both sets of minutes. One is from February 14th, 2007, and the other is February 27th, 2007. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Thank you. We have Representative Poppy here today, and Representative Poppy, would you like to move House File 1203 before the committee?
I would like to have somebody do that for me. Yes, I would.
All right. I'll move House File 1203, and it's going to be recommended to pass and go on to finance taxes. I'm sorry, on to taxes. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I do have an amendment as well. Okay. Don't know if it's an author's amendment, if you could just move that as well right now.
And so we'd like to move the author's amendment. It's 0121 in order to have the bill in the form the author would like to address it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You're approved.
And thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm State Representative Jean Poppy from District 27B. House File 1203 is a local bill with worldwide significance. For the past 65 years, the Hormel Institute has been an almost hidden gem inside its walls in Austin, Minnesota. It has recently become a much more visible and identifiable entity within our community. Thanks in large part to the groundbreaking work being done inside the walls to research cures for cancer, and to the recent groundbreaking work being done outside the walls to grow the size of the Institute. The purpose of the Hormel Institute is to promote research and education in science with applications in medicine, and researchers are currently investigating the causes of cancer to develop new basic strategies for its prevention, treatment, and cure. The Hormel Institute's partnership with the University of Minnesota and collaboration with Mayo Clinic achieves scientific achievement recognized around the world. Today we are presenting House File 1203, which requests a sales tax exemption for the building materials, supplies, and equipment costs being used to expand the Hormel Institute. To speak on behalf of the bill with me today are people representing the Hormel Institute in the city of Austin, and so I'm going to bring those people up today. First of all, we have Dale Dennison, and I'll let them introduce themselves individually. Dr. Zagong Dong, John Gray, Tom Dankert, and also Kathy Green, a community representative. So they'll all come up, and they'll be able to present the information regarding the Hormel Institute and also to give you a better understanding of the purpose of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Poppy, and welcome testifiers. And I'd ask that before each of you speak, if you would present your name into the microphone for the record and then go on with your testimony. Welcome.
Chairperson Norton and members of the committee, thank you. My name is Gail Dennison. I am the representative for public relations and fundraising development for the Hormel Institute. Today I'll begin by first introducing the project and who we are as the Hormel Institute. We're part of the University of Minnesota. It's a research unit that from its very beginning was part of the University of Minnesota. The special research that is done there, Dr. Zagong Dong will talk about, and they are world leaders in cancer research. I'm going to begin by first showing you a short 8-minute documentary that tells the story of the Hormel Institute and really introduces you to the research and the people who work there, and more importantly, its great success and the direction that we're headed. Thank you.
associations and extraordinary circumstances. So it is with the Hormel Institute, one of the nation's foremost medical research laboratories. Established to benefit humanity through medical science research, the Hormel Institute was founded in 1932 by J.C. Hormel and given to the University of Minnesota.
Jay Hormel was a visionary. Not only was he a good marketer, but he was an identification of the essential things that are there for a good life. He was the man who brought up the idea of having an institute, and he had the stables out there that were not being used for horses anymore, so he built the first institute in the stables.
Jay actually founded the institute because he wanted to have a research institute in his hometown. So in 1942, he got together here with some of the University of Minnesota faculty, dean of the graduate school, and signed an agreement to establish the institute.
In 1960, we built the present building, which is no longer adequate, nor is it capable of housing and accommodating all of the people who will be coming to us.
Located in Austin, Minnesota, the Hormel Institute is famous as a world leader in the biological sciences with specialized applications in medicine and agriculture. Historically, the Institute is responsible for significant breakthroughs in the studies of lipid metabolism and chemistry. Today, the Hormel Institute is exploring vital new research in human prevention, studying the use of chemical agents, drugs, or food supplements in the prevention of disease. The Institute maintains an intense focus on cancer research. Cancer has now become the number one killer of Americans under age 80, surpassing heart disease. The Hormel Institute is a leader in the study of dietary factors affecting the growth of cancer cells, and in the search for scientifically proven nutritional agents that will guide in the development of preventive means and cures for this devastating illness.
My science, we are doing in the Hormel Institute, we really defer the class. The director of the National Cancer Institute has set up a goal for this mission to eliminate the suffering and deaths due to cancer by 2015.
If you get cancer, it's many times not the cancer that will kill you. It is the chemotherapy and the toxicity of that. And so one of our goals is to develop non-toxic dietary agents that can be used for prevention and treatment of cancer.
The focus of my group is on cancer prevention by selenium, which is a trace elements nutrient, and also herbal medicine. So we focus on prostate cancer prevention and breast cancer prevention.
The Hormel Institute is engaged in cutting-edge, world-recognized research. Currently, 95% of the Institute's funding comes from federal grants, industrial contracts, and from private foundations such as the Hormel Foundation. During the past year, 30% of the grant applications submitted by the Institute were funded, compared to a national average of only 5%. In spite of a trend where national medical research funding is decreasing, in just 5 years, the Hormel Institute has tripled grants from the National Institutes of Health and doubled its staff. Proof that the Institute succeeds in an extremely competitive environment.
In the past few years, we actually isolated a few chemicals from these fruit and vegetables. That's including chemicals from ginger, chemicals from green tea.
One of our most promising dietary factors is a compound that's been isolated from ginger called 6-gingerol. And this compound has been shown to be very effective in preventing and treating skin cancers that are induced by sunlight, which is very, very common.
There's two different areas that we're studying. One is the effect of obesity on cancer development, and the other is the effect of food restriction on cancer prevention.
The Hormel Institute is in close partnership with the University of Minnesota, the Mayo Clinic, other influential research authorities around the world, engaged in groundbreaking work in the war against cancer and other deadly health threats. In 2006, the Institute broke ground on a new world-class science research facility designed to equip the Institute for continuing excellence in current and future medical research efforts.
I could not be more grateful and proud of the Hormel Institute as governor of the state. I know previous governors have felt the same way, but this is a marquee institute, and we're very proud of the work that you do. So to have a difference maker, a game changer, an institute of this kind of magnetic quality that says to the marketplace, come here as a world-class researcher, a world-class scientist, bring your family, raise a family, research, study.
We thank this institute, the Hormel Institute, with its proud history of accomplishment, is well aligned, well integrated with this long-term vision for the universities and our state's future. It represents academic leadership in one of the most important fields of study today, that is research into prevention and treatment of cancer. These happen to be the top priorities of the Mayo Clinic, the University of Minnesota, and they clearly are among the very most important priorities for our state.
Well, builders are tools that we really put in the hands of those who are making these types of dreams and visions of our leadership become a reality. I can guarantee you that Mayo Clinic is very excited about continuing to participate in these kind of collaborations. I personally look forward today and tomorrow to fostering, engendering, and continuing the kind of work that I think we're seeing here right now.
Take a look at the new expansion that's going to be happening at Hormel, at the Hormel Institute, and as you look at it, think of the new people, the new jobs, new homes, new discoveries, all that will be happening here in Austin, Minnesota, because of the growth and what is happening at our institute.
The expansion will add new research departments to the existing five sections, increase staff, and enhance facilities to meet ever-increasing demands in the fundamentally important field of bioscience.
The expansion of the Hormel Institute will help my research in that will provide updated equipment, the opportunity to develop new methodologies.
We'll have things to do research in the future that hopefully will be meaningful and will be able to help us in some of the other things we have done, like Dr. Holman discovering omega 3 and omega 6, and he's coming right here in Austin, Minnesota.
The Hormel Institute expansion is beneficial to southern Minnesota and Austin, adding jobs and fueling the economy of this exceptional rural Minnesota area.
The Institute's value to this community is huge. But very few people really know that it's a part of the University of Minnesota, that it conducts basic research and produces a burden for illness in terms of cancer. And in the same time, it's only 23,000. We have a facility in Burnt Pine that is in this. And it sort of separates us from other communities in Minnesota. The communities throughout the Upper Midwest.
To a large degree, it's a gift. We went after the foundation and for the groundbreaking work that the Institute had done back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s to lay the groundwork. But we didn't have this opportunity available. And with what's coming in association with Mayo and with the university, it has the potential to be not only this expansion, but future expansions. And again, to bring these sort of jobs and these sort of individuals into rural Minnesota is very, very tough to do. We're going to put up a beautiful building right off the interstate, which will be very attractive. And they're going to enhance the value of the property by over $20 million. In addition to that, they're talking about adding 100 new jobs in our community. It's a community of 23,000 people. That's going to be significant. And then those individuals will join civic organizations, our churches, our schools. The whole community will benefit from the expansion. Whatever we can do to support it, I feel very strongly we have to do. This is a huge plus for the community.
The scientists that you are using, you know, Hormel Institute is actually all over the world. Some from Korea, Japan.
My name is Olga Gazina. I'm from Russia. I graduated from Siberia Medical School University, and I think my PhD is Russian.
China, India.
My name
name is Sonia Dolden. I'm a postdoc. I was born in Turkey, and I came to the University of Minnesota in St. Paul campus to have my master's degree and PhD.
Bangladesh and Finland, Germany.
Well, my name is Johnny Liu. I'm a professor of cancer biology from Denver. Yes, we took some getting used to living from living in a small town compared to a big city like Denver.
I from Siberian Medical University. I'm very happy to work here. I have big possibilities.
And 3 years ago, we moved to Austin. Austin and almost opened the door for us for my family.
In 42 years I've come, I enjoy every day I come to work here. The people are so pleasant and so nice. It's a very diverse country here.
Although major funding is provided by research grants and nonprofit foundations, your support and your financial assistance is needed for the Hormel Institute to realize its dream, a dream of discovering non-toxic natural agents that will prevent cancer and even provide a cure for this insidious disease. The Hormel Institute is a leader in the war against cancer, and you can help. The expansion is essential for the Hormel Institute's great work in medical science research to continue. Join us and become a partner in the fight for a cure for cancer. And join us as we help grow our community in an exciting new direction.
Thank you, Chairperson, and members of the committee for your attention during that documentary. Our next thing that we would like to talk about is the incredible support that we have received from the Austin community for this project. The project was launched, as you heard, through the support of the Hormel Foundation and the Hormel Foods Corporation, donations of $15 million. This is a $20 million plus project, this expansion is. $15 million made this project possible. We have an additional need to raise $5 million, four of which we are going to other corporations and foundations, and we're currently undergoing a $1 million local fundraising effort through a group called Grow Science, Grow Austin. It is extremely imperative that we have the support of the community, and they have given it. We went to the City Council and the County Commissioners, and they gave a unanimous vote to support the project through long-term low-interest loans. The school district also held its own fundraising effort. We have the entire community behind this project. And now I think what I'll do is turn it over to Dr. Dong, and he'll talk about the research success associated with the expansion.
I'm Zhang Dong. I'm the director of the Hormel Institute. And also, as I mentioned, this institute belongs to the University of Minnesota. I'm also McKnight Presidential Professor of the University. It's only four of the professors in the whole university system. So, as you just see, watched from the documentary, the institute actually is quite old institute. It's established in 1942, and it's donated by Mr. Hormel through the Hormel Foundation and to the university. And currently, the institute is very much focused on cancer research, and it's one of the leading cancer research institutes in this world. The reason I said that is because you can see, I sent some of the material to you, and there are several standard.
Could you just a moment and allow the pages to fiddle with the electronics? This is a technology committee, and we can't get them to work very well. Thank you. Now, please, continue.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Not your fault. It's the state of Minnesota's electrical stuff.
Okay. You probably know, being the university tried to build out the whole university system to the top three university, and the research university, the one standard, several standard to judge, you know, whether the university is the top one, number one, or number three university, or number 10, or whatever. So that is the publication, the research publication. That is mainly whether you can publish in the best journal. That's including so-called Nature, Science, or Cell System. You know, this kind of journal, usually, is very, very difficult to publish there. And the faculty in the institute, and regularly we publish in these three top journals. This is a very... actually, the whole university is only one of the very, very few university, you know, department can do that. So that's why I said, you know, it's a very important, you know, standard, a golden standard to judge whether university, a department is good or bad. And the second part is, of course, is the funding. It's whether you can attract federal funding, researcher funding to do the research. Through the documentary, 95% of our funding actually is through the federal government. It's mainly from the National Institutes of Health or Department of Defense. They have the research program to support breast cancer as well as prostate cancer. That's why we also get a lot of money from them. And actually, through the last few years, and the funding, we have tripled, or probably next year will be doubled twice since 2001, and since I became the director of the institute. So that is compared with the nationwide, you know, the funding is decreased very sharply, very recently. And I also make another slide. Just compare with one of our department in the university. This department is one of the best in the nationwide. Okay, it's one of the best in our university, but also is the leading department compared with the whole nation. But they that department have 42 faculties, and in the institute, and this year, I only have 7 faculties. So we have 7 professors, and that department have 42. So the reason I said that, and you know, the money, the institute, the faculty in the institute bring into the to the university is around 14.4 million, compared with the Department of Biochemistry bring 13.6 million this year. So this is you know, the 7 faculty compared with the 42, and we bring more money than the faculty in that department. Another very important thing is, you know, the reason we can do that is that we actually do a lot of collaborations. Is these collaborations is through the very tight collaboration with the scientists and the physicians in the Mayo Clinic, and as well as many other researchers in the university, especially the cancer center of the university, and as well as IDF. So actually, last year we also received one of the partnership grants, the Minnesota Partnership for Biotechnology and Medical Genomics. And in this grant, actually we will do with the supercomputer system and try to design the anti-cancer drugs. And through the collaboration with one of the male clinical scientists, his name is Dr. Yo-Ping Pang. And again, last year we also have a formally collaboration with IBM. And IBM actually provided the world fastest supercomputer system to us to do the computation assay to design the drugs, or study the protein-protein interactions, and try to find the target for cancer, for anti-cancer drugs. So through this way, we actually now really enhance our research capability, you know, in a very high level. So with that, and actually we very recently we identified many of the dietary factors or chemicals isolated from fruit and vegetables, and that are very potent for use anti-cancer drugs. And a few of them we already applied for patent, and this patent through the university patent office, we actually licensed you know, the some of the bioscience company, and actually one of the company in New Jersey called Pediatric Pharmaceutical, they purchased the patent. So because I know there are a lot of the time, and I understand there are probably, well, I need to leave some questions to you to time to you to ask questions. I probably will only summarize, you know, why the institute is important in our local community, because as I mentioned, cancer is already surpassed heart disease. It's number one killer in the United States under the age of 80, and that means cancer becomes the most important public health threat to this nation. And the institute now is one of the best cancer prevention research center in the United States. The institute is locally based at Austin, Minnesota, and for the 65 years. And that means they have not only doing the cancer research that can benefit the whole humankind, but also have a major economical impact. And the new expansion will probably add another 80 to 100 new jobs to our local community. The institute is drawing substantial other researchers, especially Mayo Clinic and others, to do education and influence to the Southern Central Minnesota. The institute can also help Southern Minnesota capitalize on health-related future economical growth. And we also actually, another thing the institute provided is the so-called Southern Minnesota Internet Group. That is, when the you know, the new technology comes to Minnesota in the rural area, it's difficult to provide that. And the institute at that moment realized, you know, the need of that. So we formalized the Southern Minnesota Internet Group. And through our university system, at the very beginning, try to support the internet service to the whole Southern Minnesota and also a little bit of Northern Iowa as well. So I'll stop here.
Thank you, Dr. Ben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing us to showcase the Hormel Institute. We also do have two people that would like to speak just more directly about the bill that we have before you. So if you give us a few more minutes, we'd appreciate that to be able to talk about that.
Well, Representative Poppy, after the tongue-lashing I got from my committee members about cutting them short yesterday, you've got the whole rest of the hour.
That would be wonderful, actually. But I really do appreciate Gail Dennison and Dr. Zigong Dong being able to be here to present the information about the Hormel Institute. It is certainly, what I said, a hidden gem that hopefully the world will soon know more about, because they are the leader in cancer research. But now I'm going to turn it over to John Gray and to Tom Dankert, and they will describe more about what the value of this bill could do for the Hormel Institute and for the growth that we hope to see.
Good morning, Chairman Mahoney and committee members.
Welcome to the committee.
It's my privilege to be here to talk about this project. And first of all, I guess I would like to address the connection between the Hormel Foundation and the Hormel Institute.
Before you do that, could you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, my name is John Gray, and I'm the Assistant Secretary Treasurer to the Hormel Foundation. The connection is that the Hormel Institute is one of nine qualifying members agencies that serve on the foundation board, and they are a major agency on this board and receive approximately 55% of the annual grants that the foundation gives out. I think this past year it was to the tune of like $1.6 million to assist in the operations of the Institute. Because of the success of the Institute, especially in the 21st century here, under the leadership of Dr. Dong, it has become nationally and internationally renowned science center for cancer research. It is currently, because of the success, the staff has doubled in the 21st century in the last 5 or 6 years. And it is absolutely necessary that this expansion project take place. And not only that, the facilities that are currently there are starting to get fairly old and need updating drastically. So all considered, this project is desperately needed by the Institute. Through communication by Chairman Knowlton, Chairman of the Horma Foundation, and Dr. Dong and others at the university, a collaboration effort has been established between the University of Minnesota, the Mayo Clinic, and the Horma Foundation, affectionately known as the Southeastern Minnesota Triangle of Science, if you will, with that connection from the cities to Rochester to Austin. The University of Minnesota is the governing body over the Institute. The Mayo Clinic will offer their technical and scientific expertise in developing the labs within the new facilities and the ongoing science that is put into these facilities. So they will definitely have a major input into the new facilities. The Horma Foundation will own and currently owns the expansion project. And I guess maybe I'm maybe not need to tell you this, but if we had let the University of Minnesota take control of this project, as you know, there'd be a lot of red tape. The project would be extended out another couple years at least, and the cost of the facilities would grow. So the Horma Foundation has taken ownership of this project and has committed $10 million, has pledged $10 million to this project, half the cost, and the Hormel Foods Corporation has pledged $5 million. And so we've got three-quarters of this, of the expenses covered. The Hormel Foundation will be administering all the administrative tasks, the cost, payments of the invoices for building this project, and all the paperwork associated with it. As far as the sales tax exemption status, and that's what we're here today is to talk about this, the Horma Foundation filed for tax exempt status on its own through the Minnesota Department of Revenue and were rejected because some of the agencies that we are paying grants to are not sales tax use exempt. So they need to be 100%. All agencies that we would pay to need to be all sales tax exempt, and because even one, which the city of Austin is not, and they are one of the qualifying organizations, are not sales tax exempt, we got rejected. So we looked at the Job Z classification for this project, and because the Hormel Foundation owns this project and it is not or will not be the surviving business in the facilities, we did not qualify as a qualifying business, so that got turned aside. So I guess that's why we're proposing this bill for sales tax exemption for only the Hormel Institute building project, and once it's done, then that exemption would go away. The estimated tax savings, you were given a handout of the construction cost, total construction cost close to $20 million. With the taxable portion being about $4.9 million. So if you figure the taxes, which I put at the bottom of the sheet there, considering Minnesota sales tax and the local optional sales tax, we're talking about $345,000. Now, that's not major, and I would have to be honest with you and tell you that it wouldn't kill the project. However, we would prefer to have this money be spent on state-of-the-art technology that's going into the facilities. So with your consideration, we would hope that this bill would move forward, and that is the reason. We would like this savings to go towards the technology and the facilities and get the research facilities up to speed as quickly as possible. We do have full community support, and I will let Mr. Dankert speak to that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Mr. Dankert, if you could identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Chairperson Mahoney and members of the committee, again, thank you for hearing us. My name is Tom Dankert. I am the finance director for the City of Austin and also the secretary for the Port Authority, which is their economic development arm. As the City of Austin, we have about 23,000 people in the community, and when we heard the possibility of 80 to 100 jobs, we were doing cartwheels down the aisle. The mayor of the City of Austin directed us to get this thing done at all costs. Port Authority.
That's a dangerous statement to make.
That is correct. The Port Authority went after a $10 million bond issue to loan to the Homel Foundation in order to facilitate this construction. 7-0 council unanimous vote to approve it, and also the Port Authority board 7-0 unanimous vote. We've had many meetings where we don't get unanimous votes, but in the matter of one day, one meeting, we're able to get everybody on board, and again, they couldn't wait to get the project done. 80 to 100 jobs again in Austin is key to us. Again, the ultimate goal would be to eliminate cancer, which I think is down the road, but for our community, these jobs, this building, this facility, was well worth our time to support it. And again, as Mr. Gray had noted, there is unanimous support amongst the City of Austin and the citizens to help this project go forward.
Thank you, Mr. Danger.
We do have one final person that asked if she'd like to speak. Kathy Green, who has served on the local school board and actually is working on the Grow Science, Grow Austin fundraising effort from a community perspective. So, over to her.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Green. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Chairman Mahoney, members of the committee, I'm Catherine Green. I am on the Grow Science, Grow Austin committee. I'm part of the Pet Fest, I guess. We are going out throughout the community and the countryside and telling people what the Institute is doing and sharing with them the growth and the opportunity there is to join in the process of moving this forward. And so I guess pretty much for me is to say that truly, currently I am the chair of the school board in Austin. The education is community is very excited about the prospect. The Institute has been in the past, their staff members have been, you know, pinnacle people as far as starting science fairs, being involved in the community. I was just sharing with them, actually, their staff members started soccer, youth soccer in our community many years ago. And so they have been a small and quiet entity that have done world-class work, and now they're at a point where they're going international with their recognition. And it's awesome to see, and it's awesome to be part of. So I'm, like I said, part of the encouraging group that is locally raising $1 million. And so as far as this, if we're looking at $300,000 in sales tax, that means a third of the effort that our community is doing as far as raising $1 million would go to sales tax. And we really would like to see that money go into the program, go into instruments, go into research. So thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you, Ms. Green.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. That is our presentation. That is our request. And we would hope for support and to be able to go on to taxes next.
President Poppe, if we pass this out of this committee, will that mean that you'll stop bending my ear about how great the Austin Institute is?
No.
Oh.
I wanted to be able to share it. I'm glad that there are other people here that maybe did not know about it, were not aware of it, and I think that we do have something to be proud of. So I'm very much glad to have the people with me today to be able to present the information.
I wholeheartedly agree that I'm glad that you're here, and I hope the committee has a number of questions. So I'll open it up to Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the dwell time on this interesting subject. First, an editorial comment. I think it was Mr. Gray a few moments ago commented that one reason they could, the Homel Foundation couldn't get their tax-exempt status is because they deal with agencies that are not tax-exempt, meaning the City of Austin. Several of us are signed onto a bill. As a former city council member, one issue that still gets my blood boiling is the temporary extension of the sales tax to counties and cities, which I think is one of the silliest things we've ever done up here. So Representative Poppy.
Oh, can't we name a few more?
We can name lots of them. I said one of them. If you're going to the tax committee next, would you just carry that little editorial sidebar along to the tax committee? That if they'd give that bill a thorough airing and maybe pass it, we'd sure appreciate it. The comment that the young lady just made about raising private funds to help pay sales taxes on a nonprofit adventure, just it's, well, enough said. My question for Representative Poppy, and I think I'm ready to vote yes on this bill, but I don't want to delay it too long. On page 2, 2.16 and 2.17, I think I saw somewhere there was a reason that we struck that exemption. I like cutting taxes and saving people from paying them. So just explain to me why we are dropping this one exemption. Can someone speak to that for a moment? Understanding that I'm happy to extend the exemption to you, but what happened here?
And thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Beard. I am not clear on why that was, and perhaps maybe a research person would be able to help me with that.
Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, I actually asked the tax staff about this, and it's a project that has been completed for quite some time, so they're just striking the authorization in the statute.
Well, okay then, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Representative Ruth, you had a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. More of a comment. Representative Poppy, I just want to thank you for bringing this forward, and I'm from Owatonna, so I know very well about the Hormel Institute. And also, in case members didn't know, this keeps jobs in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking at. It's a lot of our pieces to try to do that. But as well as the Hormel Institute is also working very closely with the Research and Outreach Center from the University of Minnesota in Waseca. And I know there are a lot of things that are not really open to the public yet, but that you're working on that are very, very impressive. And by the way, Representative Beard, I have that bill to remove the sales tax from the city, so we're hoping it. So I'm very much in favor of this bill, and thank you for bringing it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you so much, Representative Ruth, for mentioning the Waseca Research Center as well. Thank you.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Chair Mahoney. Appreciate it. This might be a question for Representative Poppy or perhaps staff. I'm not sure. My question is, I thank you for bringing this to my attention. I knew very little about the Hormel Institute, and you guys do great things. It's amazing. And so I'm supportive of the legislation, but I do have a question about the revenue analysis, and I see that there isn't one done. I'm just wondering what the potential loss to the state coffers might be. I know this isn't a finance committee, but I'm just kind of curious, since I'm not on taxes, what it might be. Oh, is it on there? Is it in here?
I believe there was a handout that talked about the expansion project, and the estimated sales tax implication there is $345,916.
Thank you.
To the state, actually, we had that last year. We were able to get a local option sales tax, so part of that is taken off, so really the impact to the state is $321,000.
You're trying to keep those numbers from me, Chair Mahoney. I didn't have one in my packet.
I would never try to keep you from anything. Representative Norton? I think she got one over there.
Chair Mahoney and Representative Poppy, I just wanted to highlight something that, along with the genomics partnership, which of course is in my community, which is the Blue Gene computer of IBM. And it's one of the things that, and I mentioned it to Chair Mahoney, that perhaps at some point we could make a trip to Rochester to see, and maybe we could come down through Hormel and make it a whole Southeast Minnesota trip, because there's a lot down there to see that interacts with this committee's work in the bioscience industry. And IBM has, it's a private company, and we don't hear a lot about it, I don't think, but the Blue Gene computer has been hugely helpful. And in fact, I used to see some of the IBM employees lobbying around here, and I haven't seen them yet this year, so maybe they don't have anything in the works. But it's a nice private-public partnership that we have in Rochester through Mayo, and I know you do as well with the Hormel Institute. So I just wanted to highlight that. It is in my community, and it's a great asset.
Well, Representative Poppy, in response to that, just so the committee knows, I've been working on trying to figure out a way to get leadership to pay for a trip through Rochester and down along the I-90 to the Worthington conference down there, which would be an overnight, and we could all be on a bus and get along and enjoy each other's company for a couple of days. But Burns?
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. I'm still buzzing from the forecast that I had to go sit through, so please excuse me.
I have a comment as well. I was aware of the good work you do at the Hormel Institute. I just came off 4 years on Governor Pointy's staff. I understand how much he values your work. And specifically, I think it's important just sometimes to say how much we value your work. And I want to address this to Dr. Dong. Thank you for being in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. There are a couple things that I've seen come through the legislature that I think deserve very strong funding, and we need to make really strong investments in. Biosciences generally is one area where I feel strongly about, and specifically the work that you do at the Hormel Institute. I can't thank you enough for being in Minnesota and all the work that you're doing, which someday will pay off in a cure for cancer. And I don't think there's more. I don't think there's a smarter way to spend money. So as long as you're here, I will continue to support the work that you do, and I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Representative Byrd. Go ahead, Doctor.
Yes. Chair Tim Mahoney, and also I'm very proud to be part of Minnesota's Bell Science Program, and I also want to thank the Ruth, you mentioned about the with Wasika's group, that again, we didn't go to public yet, but I think I want to just say a little bit, that is another part of our research. We want to combine the medical part as well as the food and agriculture. We want to grow, because our research found, only if you're drinking tea, only a certain amount of the anti-cancer agent is in there. Or the ginger is another good example. The different lot of the ginger root, the anti-cancer agent is quite different. So we wanted to, through the collaboration with scientists in Waseca, in Waseca University, to grow the Minnesota brand of anti-cancer ginger or anti-cancer tea or anti-cancer drinks. And then we will do the animal experiment in the Hormel Institute, and then we will do the clinical trial in Mayo Clinic, through the, just the triangle partnership in Minnesota. We are developing medical agriculture. It's a new term. Yes.
Thank you, Doctor. I'm going to take my turn now, and I'm very impressed by the idea of your food research. I might recommend that you take the broccoli off the doctor. Not because I don't like broccoli, but I love ginger as a spice. I actually have a question for. We're not going to get into Brussels sprouts, Mr. Danker. If you could please, almost everyone has spoken to the 100 jobs that are coming to Austin. Is that 100 jobs at the Institute, or is that the additional jobs that will come because of the 20 new labs that you would be doing with this expansion?
The estimation that Chairman Mahoney and members of the committee, the estimation that was brought from the Hormel Institute and Foundation members to the City Council to their presentation was 80 to 100 new jobs on top of what's already there.
So that would be 100 new jobs at the Institute.
Correct.
And you're not counting in the truck drivers that are delivering supplies or the restaurant workers or whatever.
You're correct.
Thank you. I have a whole list of notes and questions, but I'm only going to ask one more because I know Representative Poppy will be stopping by my office to bend my ear about this again. And if I have any questions, members, I'll call down to the Institute to get some of the answers so that committees don't go too long. Oh, wait a minute, that was yesterday. In your presentation, the video, you talked about federal grants and then industrial contracts. Could you expand on the industrial contracts a little bit? And two questions, what kind of money is coming from those? And how many of your scientists, whether it's a percentage or the actual number, that are involved in industrial contracts versus just in that particular? And I'm trying to set up the committee to understand how important the procurement bill that we've heard here might be a little later on.
Maybe I can address that question easy. For the most of the money is from the grant, okay, from the National Institute of Health. But the like the NCI, National Cancer Institute, and other institutes also have a contract. The contract are to other universities or other private company, and then through that, and then they contract to us. But that's only a very small amount of it. But the private company, the real private company, is like I have one is from actually I have two or three. The one is from the pediatrical pharmaceutical. That is our patent on the ginger is the anti-cancer agent to develop a cream, and that we actually get the contract money from the pediatrical pharmaceutical, and they. I think the first phase they gave us around 300,000 on that first on animal experiment. They promised once the animal experiment is done, and then they will give another $2 million to do the clinical trial. So we already have a standard agreement. So the trial will conduct in Mayo Clinic. So the cream is developed just right now, developing in Mayo now, and then another. Money that also came from New Jersey called also the bioscience technology called Welgene, and they also give us around $100,000 to do the anti-cancer drugs development as well. So this is a typical examples.
Thank you. I think it's important that the state start looking at industrial contracts, whether they be with the Defense Department or with Boeing, for all I care. Minnesota, nice to get more of those contracts. Seeing no other questions or comments, I think we are ready. If you have any final comments, we could pass your bill on to Texas.
We would appreciate that, Chair Mahoney, and thank you for, again, allowing us to showcase this wonderful institute.
Thank you. And who moved the bill? Could you renew your motion?
I would move House File 1203 to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
All in favor?
Aye.
I guess we have to do this again. As amended, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Your bill passes. Thank you. Thank you for coming up and explaining this to us. This is a vital part that we need to understand about the rural economy in Minnesota. Thank you again.
Thank you.
See no business before the committee. It stands adjourned.